come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God bless you. You may be seated. Break down, break out, and break through. What I want to try to talk to you about a little while tonight. Break down, break out, and break through. I know that many times there's been a breakdown. During World War II, when the United Forces won the battle, General von Rundstedt asked one of our reporters, or the reporter asked him, "Why do you think the great German nation lost the war?" Without hesitation, he said, "Lack of air power, lack of oil, broken communication, failure at the source of supply." There was a breakdown because they lost their communication. There was broken, and they could not communicate with their leaders. And as a result, they didn't know what to do. They were broken down. They were broken down. And so many times in our own lives and in our own churches, our ministry, our districts, there is a breakdown because we don't have proper communication. We've got to communicate with one another. We've got to love one another. We've got to prefer one before the other. We've got to be willing for our brother to receive glory, and we've got to step in the background. Too many people want the limelight when we need the spotlight. We need God to dig around us and stir our hearts. And so sometimes there's that downward condition, break down. Jonah was called to Nineveh. The Bible said that he went down to Joppa. He went down in the ship. He went down in the sea. He went down in the fish's belly. There was a breakdown. He knew the will of God, but he was running from it. And if you're here in this conference and you know what God wants you to do, shake yourself again. Stir yourself again. See what God will do to get you stirred all over again. Hallelujah. Amen. There are four chapters in the book of Jonah. First chapter, he's running from God. Second chapter, he's running to God. Third chapter, he's running with God. Fourth chapter, he's running ahead of God. It was down, down, down. Nineveh, the great city, when the Lord said, "Go to that city, because I'm going to destroy it," Jonah said, "Finally, it's coming." Amen. Finally, it's here. I'm glad it's going to happen. They had killed so many. The road into Nineveh was lined with skulls on both sides. There was that warning, "You enter this city at your own risk." Jonah said, "Good enough. I'm glad they're going to be destroyed." And so downward, down he went, down he went. But finally, he came to himself. The Bible said, when he was in that the belly of that great fish with seaweeds wrapped around his head, said he turned toward the temple. Now you tell me how he did that. I guess he just turned every direction toward the temple. And the Lord heard his prayer. Amen. The Lord will hear our prayers if we're sincere. I've had a few seaweeds wrapped around my head. There have been times that I looked toward the temple. Yes. There were times that there was a breakdown when I was broken as far as I could go to the bottom. That's when God began to talk to my heart. "You may feel bad. You may have said I've failed God. There's no hope for me. There's no use to try again." Amen. The winner gets up off the floor and says, "I'm going to try it one more time." That's what we're going to do in this conference. We're going to get up off of our backs, and we're going to try it one more time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, the Apostle Peter, who fulfills so much in this book of Acts, Bible tells us that he had his downward course. In fact, seven steps downward. First of all, he had a boasting attitude. Though others fail you, not me. You can always count on me. And then he had, you better not boast about the things that God has done for you. As a church, we better be a humble people. We better be thankful for what God has done. We better give glory and honor and praise to Jesus. We better realize who we are, where we came from. And God didn't owe us anything, but His anointing has elevated us and has brought us to a new place, a new dimension. Praise God. Just as sure as we start boasting that we're bigger, that we're better. Let me say something. We have a great Texas district. We like to boast that we're the biggest. And even sometimes the best. Don't mess with Texas. I've seen that up and down the highways. What they're saying is don't mess with the Texas District United Pentecostal Church. Are all you brethren looking at me? Amen. Boastful attitude. Boastful. Oh, if you could have come where I come from, and you could have seen the humility those men of God had. Even as you read about Azusa Street, here's a man that's got his head in a box until time to get up and preach. This thing didn't start on Fifth Avenue. This thing didn't start in the cathedrals. It started among humble men who had a contact with God. They were not ashamed. They were not afraid. They would not give in. They would not give out. They refused to give up. They just kept holding on. Woo! Hallelujah! Blessed be the Lord. Amen. One of our saints in our church had a house on the lake just out of the Lufkin at the Camp Brown area. Last week, all of a sudden, the black clouds came up. And Jim Windham said to his wife, "You better get in another room in a hurry." She couldn't make it to the bathroom where he was. She went in the bedroom. And the tornado struck that house. It tore the one side off, tore another side off, tore the roof off. The furniture all disappeared. Their automobiles was torn up, and it was a tornado. Gene Windham said, "All I said was Jesus, Jesus," and they were not touched. The house was blown away. You talk about the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care how low down you get, you've still got a name. That name is above everything. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, I don't care how low you get. I started to say low down. I don't care how low you get. Amen. Yeah, you may have a breakdown. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the end of the story. The Apostle Peter had a boastful attitude. And then he had a lukewarm attitude. He was asleep in when he ought to have been wide awake. God can never use a people who have a lukewarm attitude. You've got to get excited about this thing. You got to be like Sister Foster. Get excited about that organ. Get excited about the singing. Get excited about the Word of God. Let me tell you, this is our finest hour. We better not go to sleep in this hour. This is not a time to become lukewarm. This is a time in this meeting to get on fire and let the Lord talk to our hearts. Praise God. We've got too many lukewarm preachers. They're satisfied with the status quo. They're satisfied with the regular routine. They haven't had a revival in no telling how many years. Their excuse is, you just don't know our place. You don't know how hard it is. But if somebody comes in there that has a vision and a burden, let me tell you, it will happen. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Voss, wave your hand. Amen. Brother Voss went into Collinsville, Oklahoma. Nothing had happened there in 40 years to speak of. My dad and his family went in there and started that work. My sister said it was the first time all the children had a room. It was in a torn down, broken down hotel. Nothing was intact. And everyone had a room. But that's where the great revival started for Brother Voss. You ought to see the church he's built. You ought to see the congregation he has. Praise God. My brother from Mounds, Oklahoma, stand up. He went into a place where they said, that's the preacher's graveyard. Preachers all over the country had gone in there and preached, and they gave up when they were about half through and said, there can't be any kind of revival in Mounds, Oklahoma. But here comes a man that's got a vision and a burden. Amen. They used to have a plaque on the wall of an automobile factory in Dearborn, Michigan, entitled The Bumblebee. Said the bumblebee cannot fly. Its body's too big and its wings are too small. But the bumblebee, not knowing that, goes ahead and flies. Yes. So my brother from Mounds, everybody said, don't go there. You're a young man. There are too many places you could go. But he didn't know any better, and he began to fly. He began to fly from one house to another, from one Bible study to another, from one revival to another. Amen. And you should see the church that he's built there today. It's because he said, it can be done. It can be done. It will be done. I will not set back. I will not give in. And he's got a great church today and a beautiful building because somebody said, I will not be satisfied with the status quo. I will not be satisfied just to go through the routine. The first question asked Laura Bush, September 11th, what did you think about when all this was happening? She said, we took our freedom for granted. We better quit taking it for granted if we just go through the motions. God doesn't owe us anything. He can raise up people that will take our place. He doesn't have to have me. He doesn't have to have any of us. But we have to have him. We couldn't get along without him. He's the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Praise God. Let's kick lukewarmness out of the door, and let's look at our little towns and city, and let's say anybody with a vision can get it done. Brother Gilbert, back here, this man always inspires me. You talk about a Bible teacher. He's one of the best I ever heard. He knows all about Hennepin. Very few people know about Hennepin. When my dad went there to preach a Brush Arbor meeting, probably less than 100 people lived in that community. But when you get the fire going, and an angel of the Lord appeared one night, and 8 people saw him, and they went up and down that road, waking people up out of a deep sleep, telling them, hey, come to that Brush Arbor meeting. There was an angel of the Lord that was there last night. Well, many of them had never planned to go. But when they got through with them, nothing could keep them from going. That's the truth. Brother and Sister Gilbert will tell you that. There has to be some kind of a breaking. I don't care how down you are. Amen. I don't care how many failings you've had. There comes that time you say, hey, I'm going to kick over an altar bench. One of our preachers got a bright idea. While people were home one day, he put out 200 chairs, 25 people. They came in the next morning. They said, Pastor, what's happening? Oh, he said, that's the number of people we're going to have. He put a big trash can in front of the pulpit. They said, what's that for? That's going to hold the money that's going to come in here someday. Refuse to be satisfied. Now, there's a restless urge in my heart. I could kick back. I could kind of lay down. I've had it. I've been in this so much all my life. But I'll tell you what. I never think about that. I don't know how old men are supposed to act. I see some just moping around. Not me, brother. I'm going to keep up with these 30 and 40 years old. Whatever they do, I'm going to be right behind them. Praise God. It's not too small. Go home and say, I'm going to have a revival. In that revival in Hennepin, Oklahoma, 96 brand new people received the Holy Ghost. Way back there, come time for baptismal service, they had a great big gin pool. My dad stood out on the banks of that pool that day in the hot sun, and he preached and preached about the importance of baptism in Jesus' name. There were 120 that were going to get baptized. When he got through preaching, they started walking off of that bank. Women didn't take their shoes off. Men didn't take their billfolds out of their pocket. They wanted everything they had to be baptized. And when they got through with that baptismal service, there was around 150 that were baptized in Jesus' name. And you know what was beautiful? The power of God fell on that pool, and some of these folks were out in the Spirit. They just floated around. And they floated close to Brother Charlie Carter and to my dad. And they took them down in Jesus' name, and they floated off. The preacher told me the other day, he said he had a saint that wanted to get rebaptized because she didn't remember when the name was called upon her. Well, you know, we've had folks that were talking in tongues when they went down. They came up talking in tongues. They heard that name subconsciously. And that name was called over them, and it's been a powerful force in their lives ever since. Listen, it's time to get out of our lukewarmness. It's time for us to quit saying it can't be done. I'm here to tell you, it can be done. Praise God. Well, the third step downward for Peter was a fighting spirit. He rose out of his lukewarmness, didn't know what was going on, pulled out his sword, cut off the ear of a servant, and Jesus said, put up your sword. This is not a time for us to fight one another. You know, if we would preach more of the love of God and not try to hammer people over the head and not try to skin them before we ever get them and not try to make them holiness before they get holiness in their heart, we will have revival. There was a breakdown in Peter's life. He began to follow the Lord afar off. Afar off. The reason we don't have revivals in some place, preachers don't live close enough to God. They don't know what it is to shout. They don't know what it is to jump up and down. They never get excited about anything. They just get a little glimpse of Him once in a while. They're following afar off. The next thing they do is warm themselves by the enemy's fire. Amen. That's breakdown. Breakdown. Following the enemy's fire. The next thing, they're warming. He's cursing. He's saying words that he shouldn't say. He went down as low as he could go. You think God could use a man like that? Some of you folks feel defeated. You've made failures. You've made mistakes. So what? Who hasn't? Praise God. Well, the turning point was when he turned and looked at Jesus. He turned and looked at Jesus. Now, he's beginning to break out. He broke down long enough. He didn't think he was worthy. He didn't think he was worth anything. But now he's somehow breaking through. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like that. He looked at Jesus. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the beginning. If you fail God, find you a closet somewhere. And start praying. Brother Wilson, the greatest revival I had when I was evangelizing was in Kerman, California. After every service, I went there to preach 1 week. Ended up 5 weeks. I only had sermons for about 3 nights. But every night after church, I'd go into my little closet in that room, that bedroom. And I would pray and pray until I didn't feel, I felt perspiration all over my body. My clothes got wet. My face was swollen. I came out of that closet still not knowing what I was going to preach. But I felt something down here. I was breaking out. I was breaking out. It's breaking out. The Lord was saying, the best is yet to come. First of all, I've got to break out. You've got to break out of your ruts. You've got to break out of your little spiritual habits. You've got to break out of your tradition. You've got to break out of your lukewarmness. And say, it can be done. It will be done. I will pay every price that it takes to see that it is done. Hallelujah. He wept bitterly. How many of you folks have wept bitterly? When was the last time you stayed in the presence of God long enough that you wept? I'll tell you, we need to search our hearts and be broken before the Lord like never before. God will not walk with the proud and the haughty. Humble yourself and walk with God. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Well, the second step upward, he's in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, Peter, lovest thou me? Half-heartedly he said, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Kind of a lukewarm, half-hearted way. If you're going to reach the place where you break through, you better break out. Amen. And the third time, he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus wanted to hear him say it with gusto, with enthusiasm, with love. Lovest thou me? Yes, you know everything. You know that I love you. He had denied the Lord three times, and now he's confirming his love three times. And from that experience, he followed Jesus to the Mount of Olives. And there he heard the wonderful instruction. And then Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. That's the next step upward. Praise God. And he went to Jerusalem. 120 were in the upper room. And the Holy Ghost fell. And everybody spoke in tongues. Who was it that stood up and preached? It was that man who warmed himself by the enemy's fire. That was that man that had a breakdown. But now he broke out and he's fixing to break through. He broke through when he preached that memorable message. What a message he preached. 3,000 souls were saved that day. They were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He broke through to the Gentiles. The Holy Ghost fell, revival fell. He broke through in Samaria. Now, those folks had been with the devil. And the devil was seen everywhere in Samaria through a man that bewitched the people. A lot of people that are staying too close to the devil, not staying close enough to the Lord. And so there was a breakthrough in Samaria. The Bible said there was great joy in that city. Praise God. Breakthrough. When David was in the hold and he was thirsty and he was tired and weary, he said, oh, that I had a drink of water from that well at Bethlehem, the one inside the gate. He was getting ready to retire. Three men looked at each other, nodded their heads, and the Bible said they went toward Bethlehem. And there were four quaternions of soldiers that was guarding. They broke through. The Bible said, and they break through. They fought their way through. They had to climb over the rough terrain to get there. But no price was too great. I want to give my leader something. You never make a mistake when you follow your leader. When you say to your leader, what else can I do? Hallelujah. I was so impressed at all of the servitude attitude around here tonight. Amen. We got on the elevator and one poor little lady was pushed back in the corner and black suits were everywhere. I said, honey, you're surrounded by the mafia. And then I invited her to church. I don't know, you know, better come in self-defense. But let me tell you something. It's time we had that breakthrough. David's men had to fight 16 soldiers, go over the rough terrain. But the Bible said they break through. Now we're going to have to fight the enemy. He's not going to lay over and go to sleep because you're having great revival. He's already planning his strategy. But greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the reaching up and pulling down strongholds. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! So you can have a breakdown or you can start breaking out. Finally, you can have a breakthrough. Amen. I won't be satisfied. I am not satisfied tonight. We had a great revival in Houston. We broke through to a high school. Every Sunday night, I preached to from 10 to 20 brand new young people, high schoolers. It all began with a beautiful young lady about 16 who began to witness and say, "You ought to come to my wonderful church. You haven't heard anything till you hear my wonderful pastor." And people began to get curious. Those young people started coming. And they were praying through. We had about 30 of those young people in Dobie High School receive the Holy Ghost. And out of that 30, Jimmy Odo, where are you? Stand up. He's pastoring one of the fastest growing churches in Louisiana. Is Lori Hansen here tonight? Her husband is a pastor. There's Lori. Wave your hand, honey. She came out of a denominational church. God filled her with the Holy Ghost in that same revival. She married a preacher. We've got Andy and Angela Traub, upstate New York, pastoring a church. We've got Trevor Coates out in California, started a new church. And it could go on and on and on because that revival, we had a breakthrough. And because we had a breakthrough, we've had revival every Sunday. Somebody gets the Holy Ghost or somebody's baptized in Jesus' name. I won't be satisfied. I've got to have a breakthrough. Praise God. Amen. I know my time is up, but I've enjoyed preaching to you. And I love my brethren. I thank God for them. I read a story, Reader's Digest, several years ago. There were two brothers. One was about 18. The other was about 8. Their name was Brother Hunt and Brother Wilson. The little fella had kidney disease. The doctor said, "You won't live without a kidney transplant." So Brother Hunt, that little fella, was trembling. But Brother Wilson said, "Brother Hunt, don't worry. I'll give you one of my kidneys." And so they started to the operation room that night, that day. And the little fella on his stretcher was scared and shaking, had his little sneakers on. Finally, he threw the cover back, and he got over in the bed with Brother Wilson. Brother Wilson wrapped his arms around him and calmed him down and said, "Everything's going to be all right." And so they went through the surgery. And the little fellow said to his big brother, "Will it hurt you, what you've gone through?" He said, "No, it won't hurt me, because you see, you're my brother." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It won't.